Howard.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Happy New Year.
And same to you. How things for you?
Good.
Good.
I'm up in rainy, miserable Indiana, but other than that, I'm good.
You're not in the promised land today.
I'm not in gorgeous, beautiful downtown Boca Grande, no.
So now, is Indiana your home originally? Did you? I can't
No,
remember.
I'm originally from Hingham, Massachusetts.
Okay.
I was born in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, moved to Hingham when I was about 1 year old, and
Okay.
then lived there till I was 18, then moved to, well, I was in the Navy for a while, but my first job was back in Boston with Merrill Lynch, and then I moved to Chicago where I managed offices, and then I moved to Indiana where I managed the Central Indiana and then the Midwest District, and then I took up residence in Florida and been splitting time between Indiana and Florida. Now we're moving to Nashville.
Because you have one of your children lives in Nashville, right? Isn't that right?
That's right. My daughter, Courtney. Yeah.
That's right. Now, did you ever do any work in Nashville as far as running any of those offices?
Yes, I did actually. Yeah,
Okay, I think that's
I had Rob Schaefer, who worked with me there. Yeah,
Okay.
so he and I became friends when he ran Nashville for me.
Okay.
So I've had a long history of Nashville. I like it a lot.
It's a good town. It's a good city.
Yeah.
I think I told you I'm originally from Jackson, Mississippi, so I've definitely got some southern roots. I went to Ole Miss for a couple of years and drank some beer, and there were a lot of people from Nashville. They're good people for sure.
Yeah, there are. We covered Jackson, as you know.
Yeah.
And I've been there. It's a cute little town. It's very nice.
Not too bad. It's kind of small, and it's a big small town, basically.
I know.
Yeah.
Anyway, met a nice guy. I
So
can't remember his name now.
you mean, is this when you were with Merrill? You covered.
Yeah, when I was with Merrill, there was a guy in Jackson, a redheaded guy that ran Jackson for me. Little office, but he was a great guy. So I won't remember.
Jackson treed up to you.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, it treed up to Nashville, and then, but I'd go see I'd go see all the offices when I was there.
Yeah.
I like, it's fun, right?
Yeah. So you're a complex manager for Merrill. Is that?
We called him a district manager.
Okay. So you're above the complex manager.
I had 14 states that reported to me. It was the largest district in the country. And, so we went from Mississippi all the way up to North Dakota and Wisconsin and out to, Kansas, down to
You're like Tim
Arkansas.
Sinnott at UBS. You remember Tim Sinnott?
Yeah.
Does that name ring a bell?
Yeah, it does.
Tim Sinnott, Jamie Price, and Mark
Yep.
Sutton. Those are
Yep.
good guys. Yeah.
It's a fun job. You get good at doing different things. You get good at hiring good managers.
Yeah.
Because what they would do is they would give me a territory and say, "Go fix it," And
Okay.
I kind of eat it. I started with two states and ended up with 14, so I was sort of the fix it man. And it was
Yeah,
good because
it's a lot of work.
I never, yeah, it's a lot of work. I never had to move though. I stayed in Indianapolis. My friends were traveling, you know, all over the country, going to different regions and districts, and I never had to move.
So, were you not? Did you not have to travel that much? Most of the work you did, telephonically,
no,
or
kind of the opposite. I traveled all the time.
Okay.
But I never had to move my home. That way, the kids could be stable. I wasn't stable. I never have been stable.
Well, that's kind of it's tricky with me, and it's hard for me to with this. As disparate as my kids' activities are, it's hard for me to be completely gone. Because, you know, I've got a 14-year-old and a 6-year-old, and they go to school, 20 miles from our house. So we kind of made life difficult on ourselves. We sent to a private Christian school. And, there's a great high school right outside of our gates. But...
and the question is, what, you know, will they be that different at the end? I mean, that's always the challenge, isn't it? My daughter's going through that now with a 4.5-year-old, trying to decide whether she spends $20,000 a year, $6,000 a year, or free.
Mm-hmm. Right.
For a 5-year-old, I don't know.
Yeah.
I know. It seems a little ridiculous, doesn't it?
Yeah, 4.5, probably not going to get a whole lot of bang out of that. But, I mean, if you're committed, you know, that's just depends on where you're at. I almost wish I'd never just opened that can of worms, so to speak, of let's go send them private. You know, anyway, that's a whole different conversation, but yeah, I've got the two of them in private Christian schools, and you know, it adds up.
What does that cost a year for you?
Well, I mean, it's let's see, 13 and 16, and it'll be, by the time they're finished, it'll be, you know, 20 something a piece. They are 8 years apart, and you know, quite frankly, some of that's covered by family trusts and stuff like that, but still, it's coming from somewhere, so it's not, you know.
Yeah.
It's not all coming out of my paycheck, so it makes it easier, but still, it's not free, right? And
right.
My opinion, as a matter of where it's coming from my lineage, you know, so, I mean,
right.
You know, my parents are 81, so it's almost like kind of my money, and so, you know, but
yeah,
the thing is, the school across the high school, there are, you know, 1,000 kids per class, where at this small Christian school, there are, you know, 75 kids in the whole grade.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're much more likely to know all the parents and for them to be, you know, all of them are going to be similar in background, which may be good or bad, but you have a little bit more control, a little more peace of mind.
Yeah,
you know, we're Christians, and they start the day and with prayer. And I mean, man, my kids know a lot more about the Bible than I do because they actually study it. I mean, that's part of their curriculum. It's very impressive. But anyway,
correct.
Anyway, so a lot going on here at Wells to catch you up on.
Yep.
So they are, I can't pull up this email. You know, they've been talking about and thinking about, you know, and combining the firms, so to speak. So Rob and I work, I don't know if he's told you about this, Rob and I work in something called WBS, which is Wealth Brokerage Services, and then there's PCG, which is the really big wirehouse Wells model, which has most of the brokers in it, and part of us work in bank branches and part of us work in Wealth Hubs. What they just announced is there's now going to be one leader for all of Wells Fargo Advisors, and it kind of sounded like they weren't going to call them it's just going to be the branch channel, whether you're in a bank branch or whether you're in a wirehouse branch. And then they're creating a new private wealth FA division, and that's going to include people like me sitting in Wealth Hubs, which focus on the $5 million and up space. And that's kind of exciting to me, quite frankly. Unless, you know, unless it's worth pay or something like that. I don't think it will be. But that part of it is kind of exciting. Now, when this all gets, you know, hashed out and how it all gets put together, I don't know. The one thing I did ask my boss, I said, you know, me buying this book, do you think that negatively impacts my status in that or blah, blah, blah? He said he didn't think so at all. And again, you know, this is going to take me from, you know, production of, oh, by the way, I made it over the $1 million mark this year.
Oh, congratulations.
First time since being at Wells. That's kind of cool.
Very
cool. But I guess, yeah, like, but just barely. I mean, it was $1,017,000.
Oh, wow. Don't tell anybody that. They'll wonder how you did it. You know?
Right. Yes, right.
You know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I'll tell you how I did it. With all the volatility at the end of the year, you know, a lot of people were trying to figure out what to do, and I actually did some business in market-linked CDs, which are FDIC guaranteed. If the market goes down, you have a guaranteed minimum return of 4-6%. And if the market does well over the 6 years, you get a piece of that action. So if you got some cash that you really are, and it's got FDIC guarantee up to 250, you know, kind of what's not to like, and some people like that. So it put me over the edge, and I think it's the right thing to do for some people, so, you know.
Yeah, you probably bought it at the right time, too.
That's kind of what I'm thinking. So anyway.
Rather than sitting in cash, now they've got the upside, and they're still in a guaranteed tool. So they think they're in a money market. They think they're in a CD, but they really got some of the market going for them. So good for you.
Yeah. And you know, I did something for them. I wasn't just sitting back there hiding, going, you know, what you know, not wanting to talk to them because we're worried about the market, right?
Well, that's what you and I talked about. That's what we talked about, right? Take some action.
Yep.
Yeah. Good.
And
nice going.
And I think that's where, you know, the meeting of quote unquote entrepreneurship, revenue generation with doing the right thing for the client. I mean, I think that's where the model works, right? Is for what we do. We want to make money. We want the client to make money. And here's an idea. And, yeah, we get paid to do it.
Right. I always said FAs need two things. They need good ideas. And they need money.
Yeah.
That's
true
it.
Enough. Yeah.
If they, you know, they don't have any good ideas, they're worthless. They don't have any money, they're worthless. So our job is to give them good ideas so that they can put the money to work.
Yeah. These calls are recorded, right? So I can go back and... I haven't listened to the old ones in a while, but okay. So that was good, and so knock on wood, if all goes well, I get premier advisor status, director's counsel, and then hopefully should get bumped up to senior vice president, which for me the title is really from a credibility and marketing standpoint.
Sure.
As opposed to, you know, the first vice president. Sometimes you get questions of like, what is a first vice president, right? It's kind of a weird moniker.
Right.
And I found myself explaining that a few times. And like, so, you know, that means you're not quite senior? And I said, well, yeah, kind of. So, anyway, it's kind of a big deal. And that's really what was most important is getting that title. And so the private well thing, I've talked to my boss about that. Actually, I sent up an email when that came out. It came out last week and over the weekend. And there's actually some mention in the email. There's mention of us tying in with the investment bank coverage groups.
Right.
And you guys at Merrill, I know, in the private bank, you know, PBIG, Private Banking Investment Group, you
agree
with that, right, at Merrill? So this
Absolutely.
Guy, Jim Hayes, who's here, he used to run that. Hold
right.
on a second. Go ahead.
It's okay. It's okay. You're just talking about Jim Hayes.
Yeah, so he used to run something called PBIG. You were at Merrill. So he used to run that over there. He's a Merrill guy.
Yep.
And so he's the perfect person to roll out this private wealth group, which would be, it's kind of exciting, right? So I guess my point is he's got experience doing it, and I've actually been recruited by PBIG. It has an office around the corner, and you know, they do some really nice work. It's a good model. And they definitely hook up with the investment banking teams. And I did that at UBS. I was a part of a short duration team, and there were 18 of us in the country. You had to go up to New York and get vetted and interviewed and all this stuff. I definitely was on the smaller end of those guys, but still, we were able to partner with the investment bankers and getting introductions to, you know, large private companies going public, stuff like that. And that was a big deal. So I just saw mention of that the other day about partnering with the investment bank coverage team. So I sent an email up to him and to the head of the firm and to my boss and my boss's boss about how excited I was about that and just trying to understand that. So a little bit bold, but why not, right? And I got a reply back from Jim Hayes. He said, thanks for the email. You know, I'm excited to have you help us go out and win some business in this space. That's kind of cool.
Well, if you ever see him, tell him I said hello, Jim Hayes.
So you know him?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, I probably will see him. I was at the saw him last and talked to him, and David Kowach, who's the head of he's the head of the firm, WFA. I saw them at the what's called the broker forum or whatever. They do it in the summer every year. So that's kind of neat. And then on top of that, I'm trying to buy this guy's book. There's a little bit of a, they have to go out and bid it out. Not bid it out, but they have to offer it out to a lot of people. And, interesting, while you were on the phone, one of the brokers just came in our office and said, hey, this is kind of tricky. So I'm thinking about trying to buy this guy's book. His name is Ken Hansen, excuse me. He's about 900. And, you know, you and I talked about, yeah, you should do that with him and with another guy. Now, the other guy that I would, so in a perfect world, if I buy this guy's book, Ken Hansen, the other guy who just walked in my office is thinking about retiring in like 5 years from now. And his daughter is now my assistant, which I kind of like, kind of don't like. And I have in the back of my mind thought about, all right, I buy Ken Hansen's book. And then after, you know, a little while, I approached this other guy about buying his book in a few years. He just walked in and said, I know that you're trying to, literally, that's why I put you on hold. He just walked in and said, I know you're thinking about buying this book. Do you know if it's possible for two of us, as in you and me, to both buy the book? To split the risk. I'm like, So now I'm talking to you. I'm just talking out loud. I mean, this happened while we were on the phone. So theoretically, I could do that and then buy both of them out in a few years. Or would you just say, nah, I'm doing this myself? I don't know where that was totally out of the blue. Like, I was talking to you. This guy that I'm talking about, he's older. He's 63. And he's doing, let's call it 1.4. Ken Hansen's doing 900. I'm doing 1. What are your thoughts on that?
Okay, so tell me exactly what he said to you.
He just walked in here, and he's like, you on the phone? I said, yeah, I can talk to you for just a second. He said, I know you're trying to buy Ken Hansen's book, and, you know, there's obviously some risk in that. I said, yeah. He kind of rolled my eyes and said, of course there is. And he says, do you know if anyone's talked about two people buying his book? And I'm guessing he's saying, it sounded to me like he was almost offering to split and maybe partner on buying the book. And that's a total curveball to me because I was going to buy this guy's book and then go approach Bill. His name is Bill. And talk about buying his book. So I'm ahead of staying now. What do you think about that?
Well, if he's planning on retiring in 5 years, why? I mean, he just wants to hit it hard or something for the next 5 years, or what do you think his intention is?
I guess. Okay, so the way this works is you,
you don't make it until 5 years is up, right? You really don't hit it. You get 20, 20, and something like that, right?
So what you get is I buy this guy's book, and on day one, month, you know, after the transition period. So here's how it would work. If I win, then in April, he wants to use April to April. He wants to use April to April T12 numbers. There's a valuation that they give you. And basically, right. The valuation is basically 120% of your T12. So it's essentially the cash portion of moving to another firm, right?
Right.
Right. So, and you start getting that month one. So you go through the transition period, so that'd be April of this year, and then he completely leaves the firm April of next year, and then he starts getting, if it's $1.2 million, he starts getting $20,000 a month that I pay out of my gross pre-tax gross. Okay, yep. So I pay him $20,000 a month for 5 years, and then it's over. That's how it works. So maybe what Bill is thinking is he wants to max out his valuation, right? So if he jumps in on the buying the book, then he increases his valuation.
Right.
By the end of 5 years, right?
And Bill's doing 900 now?
1.3, I think 1.3 technically, yeah.
And the other guy is doing about 900, did you say, or is that?
Mm-hmm. Yep, 900.
About 900.
Yep.
Ken Hansen.
Yeah, Ken Hansen's doing 900. The book I'm trying to buy. He's doing 900.
Right. Yeah, of course he is. That's what he's doing.
Right. He just wants to max out his check. He just wants, right? And if he does it with me,
then he could be only have to pay 10 grand out a month instead of 20, and you end up, ends up getting a bigger paycheck, and then you both get, I mean, you get the whole. This would lock you in for both sides of it.
This is what?
This would lock you in for both guys.
It could, yeah.
Yeah. I would listen.
Right. So theoretically I would say to Bill, okay, let's look at this long term. So you want a piece of this action. But now you're going to retire in 5 years, right? So
right. He wants to he wants to, he'll help out with the split in order to get the uptick in 5 years when he retires.
Right, and so I'll take over his book as well.
Right.
In 5 years.
Right. So he gets, let's say he gets a half a million more, right? So he gets, let's say he nets out at the end of 5 years at least 2 million.
If not more. Not more, yep.
Yep. And you got to pay him, but you've got a $2 million book then.
An additional $2 million book.
No, an additional 1.3 theoretically, right? You get everything.
Yeah. From him.
Yeah.
But
you'd have 500 of that yourself.
Correct. Yes.
Or 450, right? So you'd be giving up 450 now to guarantee yourself getting 1.3 million Dow in 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I would do. Okay. Here's the way I would play it.
Okay.
This is smart. Mm-hmm. I would say, yes, you're going to take the half a million with all the accounts, and I'm going to take the half a million with the high net worth clients.
Well, you know, what he may be alluding to is completely forming a partnership right now, too. I don't know, because I don't know if the firm would let us split it like that unless we did that.
Well, so what? I mean, however you do it. Who cares what...
However you do it. Yeah.
Do you like the guy?
I do like him.
You like him?
I do like him.
You like him?
I do.
You trust him? You trust him?
I think I do. He's been around for a long, long, long time. I mean, forever.
Has he ever been in a partnership before?
Yes. And two other guys, and that they all went their separate ways. It's been a while.
You got to do that homework. You got to go back and find out what happened.
I know. Yep. Before I jump into that. Yep.
Right.
It's funny.
But I mean, if you could explain to him what you're doing and why you're doing it, that your intention is to be a private wealth advisor.
Mm-hmm.
Not to be, you know, have a million accounts.
Right.
And if he doesn't care, then he goes off and has a million accounts, great.
Mm-hmm.
You give him all the accounts, and you take the assets.
Yep. So basically, if I did this, it would just... Because, all right, so the numbers, do the numbers.
Because you and I talked about this. You and I said...
Yeah.
You need to get another guy to help you on this thing.
Yep.
Because you're going to end up with too many clients.
So by the way, so...
Yep.
Before he walked in and said this, my entire game plan is to hire what's called an FC, a financial consultant. The guy's got to be licensed. He's got to be, you know, credentialed, blah, blah, blah. I would actually pay him. But he would do, this is someone that's going to, like, do all the reports, going to do, like, a lot of the investment analysis, go to meetings with me, talk to clients with me. And really what I want to do is have this guy almost be, like, the COO of my practice, to where all I'm doing is talking to clients, prospecting. You know what I mean? He's getting reports ready. He's doing the analytical work and talking to some of the smaller clients.
Right. Okay.
And he just works with me. That's it. And if I'm at the 1.5 to 1.7 level, I talk to my manager and I said, look, I got to have a CA that just works with me, because when there's when you split CAs, you know, half the time I walk up to them trying to get something, they're on the phone, they got something else going on, they can't do it.
That's cool.
By that time, I'm going and doing it my own damn self. You
right.
I mean, it's like,
it's crap.
I mean,
yeah.
It's hard.
Productivity gets killed, yeah.
It's horrible. So that kind of, you know, aside from this curveball, I've got to get that person to CA, but just, even if they're sitting there half the day, when I need them, like, right then, you know?
Yep.
Anyway.
But if you're running
okay.
Supernova, they're busy. If you're running Supernova, they're not sitting
yep.
there all day.
No question. There's no way I could tell. There's no way I could tell one of these part-timers to go do all this Supernova work for me. They'd be like, what? I'm having to do a lot of it on my own. Oh, did I tell you that I lost my other guy? It's kind of a blessing in disguise. The guy was coming in 3 days a week. He was like, he wasn't licensed. He was like, not even finishing school. He didn't dress well. I need someone that looks, speaks, smells, acts, you know, like a
right.
line advisor. Somebody could take
right.
me to meetings and have, you know, meet my best clients as, you know, a mini-me almost. Not that I'm
well,
great, you know what I mean?
This is why when we met, I told you to hire an intern. A really
yeah.
smart intern.
Right.
I'm still telling you to do that, okay? You got great universities there.
But see, I need to go out and hire a full financial consultant. I know,
but just
an intern.
I know,
the intern's going to eat it. Well, the intern's going to eat up half my, you know, they kill you on that because they give them.
Oh.
You got to run it through the firm, and they'll just kill you on it. It's really expensive.
Mean,
that's what this guy. That's what this guy was. Yeah, you got to
okay.
run it through the firm.
Okay.
So basically, I was net paying net out, you know, like $1,200 a month. For, you know, a funky that was coming here, you know, in
yeah.
jeans and a t-shirt with a, you know, a club haircut and printing stuff for me versus I could pay an additional $1,200 and get a guy that's, you know, in a suit and tie and he's got licenses and he's got to have some sort of credential too, like a CFA.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I wouldn't.
Money better spent?
Yeah. It's much better spent, yeah.
Yeah. I felt like I was just giving this guy a little bit of a charity boost or something. It made me feel good when I slept at night. I still have the heart to fire him. And how do you get rid of a person like that either? You know, you got to document that. You know, that's a nightmare.
I know. So you got to be thoughtful about this stuff. Be very thoughtful. Okay?
Right.
So this guy is willing... He's got to be willing to do one of two things.
Mm-hmm.
He's either got to be willing to play second fiddle to you
mm-hmm.
and take the small accounts and allow you to run Supernova, or he's got to be willing to do Supernova completely.
This is the potential partner, not the FC.
Right.
I don't think about hiring.
Right.
Okay.
Right. My guess, he's going to balk at both of those.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But that gives you a very good reason to turn him down without jeopardizing him coming to you later on.
Mm. Right. Right, right, right.
And you
right,
do
right.
it, you do it based on your commitment to excellence. So you say, you know, if I have made a commitment to excellence in terms of service to my clients. That may sound like BS, but I'm very serious.
Mm-hmm.
I will not take on any more than 100 clients, and I've got to maintain a regular scheduled client contact system. 1242, which dictates the 100 clients. Okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm happy to do this with you under two circumstances. One,
you join me and you adopt the same model, which would mean you have to hire at least two more people, probably, or you're willing to take on, you know, an extra 200 or 300 clients.
All right, say that again. So either adopt the
either you either you're both either you both go to the look. If you want to be a private banker, you want to be one of these top notch guys. You can't have more than 100 clients. Okay.
No, I get it. Yes, yes.
And that's what your voice was all excited about doing that, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so that's also part of your speech here.
Speaking of that, I didn't mean to interrupt you. So speaking of that, so let's pause. Let's say I buy this guy's book, and he's got 250 accounts, right? I've got 50, and I hire an FC to help me run all this.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with every time I bring in another account that meets my minimum, I'm getting rid of one of those, right?
Right.
Okay, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, there's not, even out of the 250 that he brings in, I bring in one for, you know, $1 million or $2 million or whatever. I get rid of 3 or 4 or 5 of the small ones, right? There's nothing wrong with that, right?
No, that's like, part of the, that's the model.
Right. So it's almost like buying this book is kind of a bridge, right, to get me. And I see it as almost a production bridge, if you will.
Yeah, right. Except you've got to have a place for those 200. You know, if you're going to keep 50 of them, you got to get rid of 200. So where are they going?
Right. No, correct. Yep. And so maybe that's where
for this guy.
You know, put. Well, the FC, yeah, the FC is for sure the FC, and if he
maybe this partner, and maybe this partner, maybe this guy comes in. You got to hear what he.
Yeah, I got.
I know.
I got to hear what he says.
You got to hear what he has to say. Maybe he's willing to do it.
Yep. Okay.
Okay. How many clients does he have?
I do not know.
Okay, let's say he's got 250, right?
Probably, yeah.
Now you drop another two, you know, let's say that your FC can handle 50. Now you got 150 to drop on Bill. He's not going to want that.
No,
maybe you hire two FCs, one for him and one for you.
Right.
No, I'm not kidding. And they handle the small account.
I'll come away underwater.
Right.
In the short run.
That's what I want you to think about. I don't want you to think about doing this. This isn't a freebie, okay? I don't want you to think of this as 3 months.
Right.
There's a price you're going to pay for this.
Yep.
And maybe building the perfect team is worth it. It's like you'd invest in a company, you know, you don't expect to break even right in the first year. Maybe there's a price you pay for this.
It's like a private equity hockey stick.
Right.
You familiar with that?
Yeah.
Jaker.
Yeah, maybe, you know, it explodes on you. And it would after 5 years, but you'd have to have this pretty well planned out, and you don't want to jeopardize your business model.
Right. Or my existing base.
Or which is your business model.
Right.
Supernova protects those 50 clients, okay?
Yep.
And you can handle maybe 100, okay?
Yep.
But you can't handle, you know, 250 new clients or 200 more clients.
Yep.
You gotta think, what am I going to do with these people?
Speaking of clients, remember my spine surgery CEO?
Yeah.
He left.
Why?
Yep. so really exasperated by all the headlines. He was a difficult client. And what I mean by that, you'd spend it impossible to get on a monthly system. Impossible. And you're the kind of guy you spend, you know, for every 20 phone calls, you may get one return phone call. And you chase him around for an issue for 6 months.
Yeah.
You finally catch him and get him to focus on it. And he says, why isn't this done? And I'm like,
he wasn't a client, okay?
Yeah.
He was a customer.
Yeah, agreed. Yep. Agreed. The royal pain in the ass. I always feared the phone call because he's going to say, why isn't this done? I'm like, yeah. And what do you say? How many freaking, to put it nicely, phone calls and how many agendas? I had agendas of stuff for him to focus on, like all year in our follow-up meetings.
All right.
Thanks.
All right. Think of it only having clients that fall into the, you know, there were 11 screens that we have in the book, right?
Yep.
So think of clients falling into only those screens. Remember the screens that I had where I like them, they like me.
Yep.
He didn't fall into that. He did not fall into that screen.
No.
I trust them and he trusted me. He didn't fall into that screen. Okay? Yep. Like, trust, listen to me. I listen to him and he listens to me. Basically, he does what I tell him.
Right.
He didn't fall into that screen, right?
No. Yep.
So I like him. I like him. He likes me. I trust him. He trusts me. I listen to him. He listens to me. And he has the ability, meaning he has the money, and he's willing to make a decision.
Right.
Okay?
Yep.
So,
the thing that's difficult about it is, for years, I've treated him like he had $20 million. You know, I had three, but I knew he had 20 in this company that was tied up. And the minute he sells it and he gets the 20, he leaves.
Where'd he go? Goldman Sachs?
No, he actually went to, so his father-in-law basically has seeded him pretty much his whole career, or, you know, a lot of it. He made his own way. I don't take it. But he went to where his father-in-law has their money. So now the family's kind of all in one place. And I was talking to my boss. He said, you know, he probably liked, you know, having perhaps more than his father-in-law now at that same firm. He probably liked that, you know, that cachet, you know, or whatever. Yeah. Tough deal. You know, nice enough guy, but every phone call was, everything we had to do, it took dozens of phone calls. I referred him to the accountant, one of my CPAs, and his CPA was like, yeah, I don't need any more of those, thank you.
Yeah, he's a jerk.
Yeah. Yeah, so. Whatever. Okay. But you never like
that.
Yeah.
But that, Howard, you like everybody. You really need to be tougher in terms of who is a client. So I want you to go back through and determine how many clients you really have and how many others you have.
Yep. Two things. I got your book out and started it over again this weekend, and I got your new Supernova Teams, and I'm looking at that
too.
The good stuff. Yeah.
Right.
So I'm doubling down.
Well, and then you're going to be able to triple down at February 6th or so. We'll have the multiplier. I've got a third book, Supernova Multiplier, coming up.
Oh, wow. So this is the one you've been telling me about that's, like, deep into the process, right?
Right.
I was looking for that. I didn't see it, so it's not out.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's on Amazon. You can order it. Actually, we're taking delivery on the book. I think, like, next week.
Okay, so I can get out to Supernova Multiplier.
Yeah.
All right.
So I'll only have like 100 that I get free, but
no, I'll go buy it. I'll go buy it.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So,
you put work into that. I'm like, ahead for freebies.
No, I don't mind. It's just I won't have. I only have like. I think they send me 100 based on my contract.
Yeah.
And they won't give me the rest of them until it's actually the publishing date. So, you got a call?
Hold on one second. But then I know you probably got to go. Okay, marching orders. So I got some work to do on this gig here, right? And,
I think you're.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Is it possible after I talk to this guy, would you have, and I know we're kind of, I'm using a lot of your time, is it possible for us to have a 15-minute call to get your advice on, you know, after I round up a bunch of information?
Yeah, gather it all up and we'll do it.
Okay. Can I just email you?
Yeah.
Is like the best thing to do?
Or just call Cindy and set it up.
Okay.
That's fine.
Perfect.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you,
Howard. You got a lot of things going on. Jim Hayes is a good guy, but he really understands what the market demands when it comes to private wealth. Okay. That's the good news. The bad news is he also really understands what the market demands. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. It's the good news and the bad. There'll be no bullshitting with him.
Okay.
Okay, meaning you want to make sure that you're setting yourself up to be the real deal.
Okay. Yep.
You can't be a poser. Okay.
Yep. Plenty of those.
Because he can.
Yep.
Because they can really make a difference in terms of when the guy sells his company and he gets the $20 million. You're the guy that steps in.
Right.
To meet with them, and you got to earn that.
For sure. Yeah.
Okay. But you can do it, but you're going to have a practice that looks like those clients.
Well, that's the thing, you know, and I mean, I feel like, you know, I need a team like yesterday. I can't be the Lone Ranger. That's not going to get me anything.
Right.
This is not.
They have, I mean, I did a lot of work. You know, I told you what I managed. So, of course, I had private wealth teams, right?
Yeah.
I had a lot of private wealth advisors, and all of them had teams. You can't do that business without teams.
No, you can't.
You got to, you know, it's you and an analyst, two CAs.
So if I'm able to bolt on this or do whatever, then – that should give me enough production. A, I'll pay for the DFC, but that should also give me enough production to have my own CA. So,
right.
You know, theoretically, I'll have my analyst FC, whatever, who's, you know, kind of like me, and then a CA. So that's a nice group, right, to work with.
Right. Right.
Right.
So you probably need another full-time FA.
Right. A junior FC. Yeah. So that would be the next step.
Or this guy, if he's willing to do this. I mean, is he good enough?
He's good, but he's going to retire in a few years. And I absolutely don't want to be, like, under his thumb. You know what I mean?
No.
I don't want to be, I don't want to be, you know, the junior guy on the team. I don't want
to
be that.
No. Not even close to that.
Yeah.
But would you be willing to have him as an equal partner?
Perhaps. I mean, if it means, you know, absorbing both books in 5 years, I mean, that's a true possibility, right?
But a lot, you know, you could double your business easily in 5 years anyway.
Right. Without going through that risk and heartache.
Right.
That's right.
So that's what I want you to really think about. Is this the guy that is going to help you impress Jim Hayes? And say, these are the guys that I want to send investment banking referrals to. Okay?
Yep. Got it. Understood.
So if he's not. Yeah. Yeah, I got to run. Okay.
Hey.
Thanks. You got a lot going on. I like it. You must be doing something right. Everybody's coming to you.
Yeah, hopefully. Thank you very much, Rob.
All right, brother. Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.